Well, appreciate each one that's here tonight.
Amen.
And your prayers. We have something the Lord's given us. A message like this, a lot of times it's preached in revivals or camp meetings, and needs to be for the simple reason, if people are not careful, they can kind of get a little slack. They can get, whatever word to say, but slack. And they need a reminder. Life is not guaranteed.
That's so.
Life is not guaranteed, so consequently, we must be ready at all times. Word says, be also ready. But are you ready? Let's look over in the 24th chapter of Matthew, please, starting place. Matthew 24, again, we desire your prayers. Appreciate each one that's here. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. So therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, there was somebody that died. I don't know, there might be, I don't know if anybody in here would know them, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I knew them, pastored them a little bit, and they were several years younger than we are, and they died suddenly of a heart attack. Just went right out into turning. They had been with the saints for a number of years and walked away. Went with another group of people. And as I was praying for them, I felt like the Lord stirred my soul with this thought right here. And my bottom line is I've got a burden that goes with this message. That for you and I to be real careful, to be ready,
yes.
To not play games, but to get down to the real foundation to be sure that we're right and ready to go at a moment's notice.
Yes.
Now the sister was talking about the fire. She didn't have a lot of time.
Right.
All of a sudden it was there. It could have engulfed her and killed her just quickly.
Yes.
And her husband wouldn't even been able to get to her. So the bottom line is, you and I have to be real careful.
Yeah.
He said, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. But it says in the 42nd verse, it said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch therefore. Watch. What does the definition of watch mean? Watch is keeping a real close eye. Watching real close. So then it says in the 36th to the 39th verse here of the same chapter, I'm going to work on this just a little bit. He said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender, put it forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. All right, then the third verse of this chapter, through the eighth verse, 24 and 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming to the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. You shall hear wars, rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then the 32nd verse here. Well, I've got. All right, I want the 36th verse now. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angel of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, watching. People watch birds. They watch whales, tornadoes. They have tornado storm chasers back in my part of the country. They keep eyes and watch hurricanes when they're out in the ocean. People watch the stock market. People watch people. They watch animals. They watch marine life. They watch houses, development. They've got air traffic control and planes and sunsets and sunrises, ball games. People are looking and watching things all the time. But listen, folks, today, the most important thing is to watch God tells us to watch. Yes. We can be out there watching a lot of stuff and miss the bottom line. The Lord wants you and I to get down and look at the Word of God and see where we're at, how we're doing as a country, as a nation, what the Word is saying. Listen, folks, they're lining up with these things, the earthquakes and the famines and so forth, is lining real well with the Word of God. So how long is it going to be before He comes? But the bottom line is, He can come for you and I at any time. Be you ready? No matter when He's going to end the world. My mother made the statement different times. She said, well, I've heard this preached all of my life, and He's never showed up. But that don't mean He's not going to. The bottom line is, Jesus will come someday, and He may come for you before the judgment time. So consequently, you and I tonight, we need to get to looking, considering, weighing the Word of God, checking it and thinking about it, and thinking this is what we need to do. Look at this. I'm not interested in the whales as much as I am, and I've seen whales in the wild. I'm not interested in the bears, or the birds and the bees, all these things, as much as I am the Word of God. But the bottom line is, I am a mortal, and I can die at any moment.
Yes, so
Lord, help us tonight. You really can't watch an earthquake.
No.
2011, and about, I believe 10 o'clock at night, we had the strongest one in Oklahoma that we had had in about 50 years. I'd never been in an earthquake. I didn't know what it was. I'd heard Brother Herschel Hargraves talk about it in messages, and he was in one time, and he was in the military, if I remember right, and he said that things began to sway and move. And then he said he looked up and he seen great big beams that was holding this building together, and said they were moving, and he got scared then. He got scared. Well, this thing, everything started shaking up. Well, first there was a boom. There was a boom, sounded like a shotgun or something went off in my closet over here. Rebecca was standing here. I was at the sink in the bathroom. We were both fixed eggs and going to the bedroom. And all of a sudden, that boom. And she goes, "What's that?" I said, "I don't know." And then things started shaking and shaking. And she was looking at the bookcase, and she was looking out the door in the bedroom, and my bookcase in there was just doing all kinds of things. And I was looking over here at the wall where the medicine cabinet is, and things started falling out of that. And all of a sudden, she took about all she could handle, and she screamed real loud. An earthquake. Now, I don't know, but what I understand you all have out here in California once in a while. They was having a fire here recently and had an earthquake right there in the fire. I thought, that's a firequake. Have you ever heard of one? No, Molly, that's a firequake or a quake fire, however you want to call it. But the bottom line is, listen, folks, God has said these things are going to be. There's nothing that you and I can change them. When these faults get to moving, when these storms get to moving, the tornadoes are going to form, the earthquakes are going to be, all these things are going to happen. And it says right there in the Word of God, watch, keep your eyes open, check it out, be sure you know all about these things, and then be ready.
Lord, help
you. You don't know when your time will be. You can't watch those earthquakes. You can watch seismic readings. And I've been on the big island of Hawaii. And you, if you watched or heard, have a newspaper or whatever, you know they had an earthquake. Well, they had a volcano over there. And you can go into a building on the big island. It has all these seismic machines. And they have earthquakes over there quite a bit because of this huge volcano that's working all the time. And that thing flows above ground. And we didn't get into it because we really didn't have time. But I had Brother Philip Gillenbeck and some that have been over there themselves. And actually, you can walk across this lava that's just flowing in areas on the ground. They have lava tubes that's 10, 12 foot high and this way. Great big thing that you can walk through. And so you can look at these machines, but they can't tell you when an earthquake's going to hit. They can't tell you when they can tell you some things, but they can't tell you absolutely right pinpoint. They don't control it. God does. But we should be watching this sign, the wars and the famines and the pestilences and earthquakes in various places, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Oh, Lord, help us tonight that we keep our eyes open, that we keep our mind open, that we keep looking at the right thing. The Lord wants to rock people. He wants to get them sleepy. He wants to get them caught up in an area where that they're not really paying attention. And then he's got them in a place, if they're not very careful, they can get in real trouble one day. Yes. Now then, let's go back to this 44th verse. Therefore, be ye. This gets down to us individually. It said that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. And would not have broken his house or suffered his house to be broken up. Wouldn't have done that. Listen, folks, today. He said if he would have just known in what watch the thief would come. We don't know. We don't know when the thief is going to come. How many of you in here has ever had your house broken into? Did it upset you? And what I mean by that, on the sister's side, I'm going for my wife, it just flat unsettled her. It done something to her for a little while. We had one broken into in Oklahoma, had another broken into in South Carolina. We was gone on the one in South Carolina. But the man that was helping watch my place, he called me, got a hold of me, and told me about it. And so consequently, if I would have known when he was going to come, I would have done something different.
Right.
You don't know. Yeah. Things are slick.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity to sit in and listen to a man that was a professional thief one time. And he was told us that he got him an eye test, a briefcase, an attaché case. He drove Cadillacs and Lincolns. He worked about 6 months out of the year. He wore a suit all the time. And he went into town that was about 35 to 50 something thousand population. Said he drove down the street, he found the Cadillac dealership, and he got the name off of that, and he started in that area. And he said he would go down the street, and he had all garage door openers, and he'd go down and he'd push them. And when the garage door would go up, he'd stop. He'd park down a little bit, and he'd come back, and he'd ring the doorbell. And if somebody answered the door, he was a salesman, see? And he would talk to them a little bit, and then he would leave. But if nobody came to the door, he went right in the garage. And most of the time, folks, the garage door between the house and the garage is unlocked, and he just walked right in the house. He said, in 5 minutes, I could have everything I wanted. I was out there. Listen, folks, day number one, if you've got a door between your garage and your house, lock that door. Lock it. I always do, especially since I heard that. He done real well. He made thousands every year. Like I said, he worked 6 months out of the year. He was a man that he didn't get caught he did get caught occasionally. But the bottom line is, see, they didn't expect him to come. He caught them on the unaware, so to speak. And he caught them, and he was in there, and he was out, and he was gone. Because of this, be ready. Be ready. Revelation 16 and 15. Revelation 16 and 15. Behold, look at, consider, weigh. I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth, keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Said, I come as a thief. And blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth. Listen, folks, we've got a garment we've got to keep clean. Amen. That garment is something that it's our responsibility to be sure that we keep it clean. We're all worried about the clothes we wear, but I tell you, the spiritual garment, how worried, concerned are we about that? Sometimes we just go on and maybe not pay a whole lot of attention. Here the other day, Molly and I was going to Webb City, but Four Corners for Sunday services, and I always have two little towels that I wear. I'm driving. I usually have a liquid drink for breakfast and something to go with that. And so I have a kind of a bib, and I have a towel that's upon my lap. Well, she was driving this time, so I thought, well, I don't need this up here. I didn't put the one across my lap. I got the little deal open and was ready to take a drink, and she hit a bump. And guess what? Chocolate went right down in front of my shirt. I didn't have no shirt to change into. I told the congregation what happened, and those sitting out there couldn't even see it. I thought, well, I wasted all that, didn't I? But I was concerned. See, I wanted to be sure that they understood that I wasn't just fooling around. It was an accident, so to speak. Listen, folks, today the devil wants you and I to mess up and get some spots and get some places. And if we don't take care of those spots and those places, we're going to get ourselves in trouble, and the Lord can come, and we'd really be in trouble then.
Lord, help us.
Let's go to 2 Peter 3 and 9. 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
Yes.
Now this is you backing the part of the thief. Now, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner? I love this reading right here. To me, it brings a very soberness into this chapter right here. It said, all these things going to be dissolved. What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heaven being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Yes.
Wherefore, Beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now he starts out again, the Lord did not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness, but in long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yes.
Now then, that's very true. But there's two sides to this scripture. And that is, he's not slack in the point of him dealing and working and convicting and calling. But there's also the side of judgment in this thing too.
Yes.
And we might say, well, he's just going to keep on and keep on and keep on. He didn't say he'd do that. He let it be known in the Word of God that there's going to be a day of wrath, and he's going to make a judgment, he's going to make a call out. And if you and I turn down the workings of the Spirit of God and get ourselves into a jam, that can get us into a place where we're in real trouble with God. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Here it is again. The which heaven shall pass away. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works there, that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons? Everything's going to be destroyed, he said. And what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, conduct, and godliness? All this is going to be dissolved. All this is going to be destroyed. I'm going to tell you something, saints. You and I may be here at the judgment, and we may not.
Yeah.
I say there's a greater chance now than there's ever been that I may be at the judgment and see it all take place. But the bottom line is this. All these things shall be dissolved. Brother Lewis Kimball, when he went to get saved, he said that he was going right along in sin and things started happening. This happened, that happened, and this happened, and that happened. And he started talking to people and they said, you know what the deal is, Brother Lewis? Or Lewis? He said, no, I said, God's dealing with you. God? Yes, God. He's dealing with you. He said he would knock in one prop, run out of another. Dissolve, so to speak. Stop. He told me the night I got saved, one thing that was hailing me or hindering me was the bottom line, I wanted to be a rich man. And I was setting my eyes and my goals that away. And the Lord let me know the night that I finally surrendered and turned loose. He said, you can be ever so rich and I can take it all away in a moment's time. Can be dissolved in a moment. You can have everything you want. You can be rich and powerful. But when God gets to shaking things up, it can all dissolve just like that. Be gone. They won't be nothing left. Listen, there was a number of people when the crash came out in 1929. They killed themselves because money was their God.
Yes.
Can be dissolved.
Yes.
God can dissolve anything. It don't have to just wait till the judgment. He can just start dissolving things on you. So Brother Lewis, you know what he does? He got to analyzing, thinking about it. So he said, I started a fast and I went into a closet and he said, I stayed there 3 days fasting and praying till I prayed through and God delivered me. He got serious about it. He was interested knowing that God, if this is you calling me, I want to meet you, know you, and get a relationship with you. And so consequently, there he was. And when he came out, he was different. He redeemed and washed up. He lived that away and died, praise God. Listen, folks, today, God can dissolve anything.
Yes.
Your house can burn up.
Yes.
You can have car wrecks and your cars will be gone.
Yes.
There are storms. There are all kinds of ways God can just tear your life all to pieces.
Yes, that's true.
If these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that that you look for such things, be diligent. Be diligent. Are we being diligent? Are we being like Brother Lewis? Got his attention. The Lord working. He working in this meeting. He working on Sundays and Wednesdays here. But are we diligent to listen as carefully to the Word? Are we diligent as He begins to deal with us to move up? Are we diligent in our personal lives to keep everything real close? Listen, sometimes, in taxes, some people, they can get a little bit cheaty on taxes, so to speak. I get everything ready. Rebecca done my taxes for years till she died. Then I had to get a tax man in Meeker, Oklahoma, where I live, and he took my taxes over. But I know enough from Rebecca that I'm real careful with how I do this stuff. Well, I was going down, and I was figuring my expenses, and on Monarch, I count so many days of eating. And I count that and work that with the money and so forth. And as I was doing it, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "You didn't have that many days." Yes, I did. So I just kind of didn't do anything with that and went on down and done the rest of it. And I come back 2 or 3 days later or whatever it was, and I'm doing it again, and it hit me. He let me know again, "You didn't have that, Carl Schaefer." Listen, folks, we need to be in tune with the Spirit where He can prick us, deal with us, call us, and say, "Listen, you didn't do that. You didn't go there," whatever might be the deal. But the deal was, I had fasted about 3 days during Monarch, and I did not have all those meals to write off. But I forgot about it. But I went back in my book, and I saw, there it is right there. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say, "Well, these are little things, preacher." How little are they? A lie is a lie. Lord, help us. A lie is a lie. And if we say this or that concerning our taxes, and then we sign the deal at the bottom, and we say that this is exactly the way it is, at best so-so, we can tell a lie right there. A man warned me years ago about that when I was first saved. I listened to what Lloyd said and thought, "Well, I'm going to be real careful. I always have." All right, he said, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. All right, looking for the judgment. But what about just looking for death? But I'm young, preacher. I'm only 40, 30, 20. I'm not 65 or 70, 75 or 80, 85 or 90. The old people's wanting to die. Why don't you go walk in a cemetery somewhere?
Right. Lord help us.
Go to a cemetery and look at the dates on the tombstones. Look at the people that died. I tell you, let me go on the paper and look at the obituary. There's been time that of the last few years, I would say probably since Rebecca died, maybe a little bit before, I would look through the paper, and there was times that I was older than part of the ones that died in there. Don't you think that shook me up? And then when Uncle Sam started sending me the deal saying, "You're old enough to start receiving Social Security," I thought, "I'm not. I ain't that old." And I fought it in my mind for a year. Till finally I said, I was 30 when I married. I'm 30 almost when Rebecca died. And that's 60. And you got 2 to go on top of that. That's 60. I guess I'm there. But I didn't want to admit it. Listen, folks, we may not want to admit some things. But if you just be honest with yourself and open up your mind and say, this, and this, and look it over and say, "I'm getting older and I could die at any moment." But there are people in their 20s and the 30s and the 40s. Rebecca... Excuse me, Molly. Molly lost a nephew on Father's Day. He was 42 years old. She lost a cousin the other day in a car wreck. She wasn't about 20. My sister died. She was in her 50s. I have dealt with prep. I've preached a lot of funerals. And down through the years. But I've never done what I've done in the last 3 or 4 months. And never thought I preached with family. And that ain't no fun. But Joey died quickly. Brother Floyd, a crummy down there. Now, he was 80 or 81. He died quickly. This girl got killed. She stepped out into eternity quickly. Listen, folks, today, we can be in very good health. Yes. There have been people that have made the statement, "Well, I'm going to get saved when I retire. I'm going to do this when I retire and do that. I'm going to work for God when I retire. Brother Ernest Williams told a story one time of a man that he knew. This man was fixed to get going to retire, and Brother Williams dealing with him and working with him, and the man wouldn't get saved. Man went to the doctor, had a physical, come home, opened the car door, got out of the car and dropped dead right there a little while before he retired. He was going to do so and so. We have no promise of the next second. Lord help us. We don't have no promise the next second, the next minute, the next hour, the next week, the next day. We don't have no promise of anything. There's people get sick. There's people that have strokes. There's people. All right, Aunt Bob, Sister
Roberta Gaines.
Roberta Gaines, thank you. Sister Roberta Gaines, my sister-in-law. Brother Phillips texted me. We was coming back in from the south, and he texted me at 9:30 on Monday, and he said she's bad. She's not hardly responding. Need prayer. Well, that's Aunt Bob. That's my sister-in-law. And about an hour later, he texted me back, and he said, she's gone. Yeah. I struggled in shock for about 5 or 6 hours. She's gone. He said, it only started, I think, on Saturday night. And by Monday morning, she's gone.
Yeah.
I've got one person right after another, folks, is dying right under my hands. So do I have a promise of tomorrow? No. And you don't either. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready for no matter what. When the time comes, if you're ready, you're ready. But if you're not ready, you're not ready, and you're going to regret it.
Yes.
People, they say, I've lived for God for all these years, and they kind of just hem-haw around and don't really get down to business and do things they shouldn't do. Maybe not great sins or anything, but they just kind of piddle along, so to speak. Listen, folks, today, we need to be serious about our lives, about our eternity, about salvation and sanctification and the things that we do, because God is a God that holds things by the Word of God. That you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night and nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, serious-minded. How serious are we? For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, I want to get our attention with this deal of the thief. That's why that I'm taking these scriptures. The Bible said preach the word. And I just preach the word. And it said here, know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us that we be real careful. Real careful. Let's go to John, 1 John 2 and 28. 1 John 2 and 28. It said, now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Abide in him. Draw nigh to him. Be close to him. That when he shall appear. Now when Adam and Eve, when she had done what she done, And Adam done what he done. And when the Lord come down to be with them in the cool of the day, what did they do? Were they just running? Hey, Lord, we're glad you're here. No, he couldn't find them, could he? What did he say? Where art thou? Where art thou? Why are you not right here waiting for me? The Jews. Jesus showed up. He should have been recognized and known by his own people. But was he? A lot of them did not respect him or love him or have anything to do with it. Tried to trap him and trip him and all these things. And he was in a position, but it was told over and over and over. It was preached, it was taught that there's going to be an end and the Jewish people are going to be caught and destroyed. Did it happen? Yes. That was one of the worst slaughters that's ever been. When the Roman army come down on the Jews, they said it was a horrific, horrible situation. Listen, folks, tonight, God, he warns and he warns and he warns and he pleads and he begs. He talks at night. He talks on the job. He talks in the day. He talks to women in the kitchen, women on the job, men on the job, going down the street, flying in planes, riding in buses, riding in trains. He's talking. He's dealing. He's calling. He's working. But are we listening?
Yes, Lord.
Are we getting down to business like he's saying? I'm trying to tell you, children, I'm talking about the word here. I'm trying to tell you that you better abide in him. You better have a relationship with him, because he's not always going to be so loving and sweet. He's going to pull the plug right out from under us one day. We're going to fall flat on our face. All right, Revelation 3 and 11. Revelation 3 and 11. Behold, I come quickly.
Yeah.
Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go, and he shall go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name.
Yes.
He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now he said here, behold, look at, consider. Again, he uses this word over and over in the scripture for you and I to consider and weigh deeply what he's saying. I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man, what one man is doing everything he can do to take our crown.
Yes.
The devil. Listen, folks, the devil don't want you to go to heaven. Jesus is doing everything he can to get us there. The devil is doing everything he can to stop us. Yes. He doesn't care how he does it. Listen, an attitude can cause you and I to be lost.
Yes.
You and I need, somebody say, well, attitude ain't much. I got news for you tonight. Lord, help us. Attitudes can get us in trouble. Because usually if one gets started, then the thing can mushroom from there and even get worse. So God says, Willie, we need to get it taken care of as quick as we can. If we get an attitude against somebody or about somebody and the situation. My brother one time, he saw somebody on Monday, if I remember right. And they done something that he didn't think they ought to be doing. He knew it. And they were in the congregation. And then he said, on Wednesday night, he said, they was right up giving a great big old bouncy testimony. And he's going, now wait a minute. I saw them do this on Monday and they're shouting on Wednesday. I said, how much time was there from the time that they done that to Wednesday night? I said, do you not think that God could have dealt with them and they could have repented of whatever they done? Come on now. It could have happened. Maybe it didn't, but it could have. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. He said the devil is wanting to do everything. The devil will slip you right out of your relationship with God real quick if you are not careful. He can take you down. I heard a man. I love this man. I watched this man. I was close to this man. And in a way, well, no doubt about it, my wife was kin to them. My first wife was kin to them. My first wife had a lot of relatives, and this right here got slew up too. And so I was kin to him. And he got up at a camp meeting. He said, folks, he said I was going along. I began to get a little bit lax here, a little bit lax there, a little bit more lax over here. And he said, one day I woke up, I wasn't even saved.
Oh,
I'd lost it all.
Oh,
he had gone and commit great sin, but he didn't read, he didn't pray, he didn't study like he ought to. The Lord will prick us. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Do we do it?
Lord,
help us now. And he woke up one day. He told this publicly. I didn't tell him nothing. He didn't tell this to me confidentially. Even though he talked to me, I was his pastor too at one point. But he said to the public there, he said, I woke up to the fact that I had just lost it. The devil doesn't care how he gets it from you. He wants to take your crown. He wants to take your salvation. And then it comes to a point that the Lord moves in and it's your time to die. How many of us in here know your exact point in time that you're going to die? Anybody tell me?
None of us. Lord help us.
Come on, you're smarter than that. You mean you can't tell me when you're going to die?
No.
You cannot. There's not anybody in here. Folks, I've watched it. I've been with a number of people that have died. I've had people that, one of the earliest that I remember, when I was quite young in the Lord, they made a call one day to the print shop when it was on Mansour there, and they called down there, and there was a certain sister that was real bad, and they said, pray for her, we think she's going to die today. Well, I was all ears and eyes looking at this. I didn't know a whole lot about this at that time. I learned it. I'm still learning as far as that goes. But I was learning. We got out and we had a season of prayer. The Lord had mercy. She lived about a month and then she died. I've had people call me in the situation. I've looked it over. I said, they're not going to die tonight, I don't believe. Or they are going to die. And sometimes you miss the call. Hospice does, doctors do, nurses do, preachers do. But there had been times that the Lord has helped me to know when somebody's going to die. But that's not every time. And the bottom line, they died. I told a family one time, I said, all right. I said, this is what's going to happen when it gets to a certain point. Call me. And they said, I'll go home, go to sleep. Or I'd have stayed there all night. And so I did that. And I said, this is what you expect. I said, when it gets to this point, you call me. I'll be right there. I didn't live very far away. It never did happen like I said it would. He died quickly. They called me. They said, Brother Carl, we think he's gone. I rushed over there, and exactly what I told them was going to happen. They said, go in there and check it yourself. It never did happen, and it didn't. Threw them into dismay. They didn't know what to think. But what I didn't think of was the fact that this man had emphysema and I was considered a natural death. But that thing was working in his lungs in such a way that at a point he just quit breathing. He was gone. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, help us. The devil wants to take your crown. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast. Hold on to it, which thou hast, and no man, no wife, no children, no boss, no people on the job, no people in the family, no neighbor in the neighborhood, nobody. Take your crown. Get you to a position where you walk away from salvation and say, it's not worth it.
Amen.
I was had a problem with a brother one time. I was the only one at the house at that point. All of them was out shopping or doing something. And I was down praying. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you made mistakes too, child. And I went like this. I didn't know why. I went like this. I raised both hands up. I looked straight up to heaven. I said, who me? I didn't do anything wrong. He said, you made mistakes, young man. And he got to dealing with me. He showed me exactly where the situation was, so to speak. I said, yes, sir, I'll do exactly what you want me to do. When I did, at the first possible chance, and that was the Monarch meeting, I went to him, we talked it out, everything worked out. I walked away and was going back to my trailer or wherever I stand. And when I did, the glory of God come down, and he go bless me. I was ready to go back and do it again.
Thank the Lord.
You've got to listen to God. Don't let anybody or anything take your crown. Take your life. Just take salvation right out from under you, so to speak. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar. Every congregation needs pillars. Needs pillars. People that are steady and solid. Now, I don't think Brother Marvin then was at Aunt Bob's funeral. But when I helped preach Sister Bird's funeral, I told him, I said, she was a person that was as steady as you get. Now, most of you didn't know her. And being in the family, I watched her in the congregation. And at one point, I think I might have pastored her a little while. But I said, she was steady. Listen, folks, a pillar is steady. And those people are somebody that pastors need. How steady are you? How much of a pillar are you? How much of you that is a stabilizer in the congregation, where if there's some things happening, you're just standing there and nothing's shaking you up. You're saying, thank you, God. I'm praying. I'm going to stay on my knees till we get the victory.
Yes.
Pastor, if you need me, I'll be right there. We need pillars. We need steady people. If you run that word steady out and consider, the bottom line is the ever business, ever army, ever ball team, ever family needs steady people.
Yes.
If they've got them, they can do something. If they don't have them, they're going to be in trouble. Brother Salmon was on a ship. He was on a destroyer, really. And it was attacked by 30 Jap bombers. And I got news for you. Those that you remember, the old general, you would have never seen him alive if he had been on that boat. But he went AWOL. He left and he walked away from it for a while, and that boat went out on its tour, whatever it was. That's when it was attacked. And Brother Sammons told me personally, he said, if I'd have been there, probably the first two bombs would have killed me. One man, one time I was on the boat, he was there when the attack come. He said that thing hit while the first bomb, and he was right there where Brother Sammons would have been. He said it blew me out of that deal and slid me right down the side of the ship, almost to the front. It didn't kill him. But Brother Sammons told me, he said, son, I'd have probably got killed on the first bomb. We had never had him. He went AWOL. He went AWOL. But he come back. I'm talking about to the military. He come back. He got back in where he's supposed to be. And he finished out and so forth. And then he had that message, steady as you go. Any of you remember that?
Yeah.
Preached in Monarch, steady as you go. Well, I'm going to tell you what. He was steady. He showed me the place where the head guy talked down to him in his ear. He showed me the place of the men that was killed on the boat. He showed me and gave me a personal tour and got it down. And it was so touching to watch him and listen to him, because that thing affected him. I'm going to tell you tonight, he would have been gone if it hadn't been for the mercy of God. Now, people must be ready to eat, to go to work, go on a date, go hunting, go to church, to do business, to take a trip, a picnic, to sell something, make a loan, go fishing, go to school, take a quiz or a test, make a deposit. You've got to get ready to do these things. You don't build a house overnight. A lot of people, they want to buy a new car, they don't buy it overnight neither. Because they have to study, they have to talk, they have to go shopping, they have to check things out. They might get different magazines and read them and look over all the cars, the trucks, the SUVs and the vans and so forth, and see what will work best for them. And then they go in and they're ready to make a purchase. So consequently, being ready takes time.
Yes.
And sometimes it takes a long time to get ready.
Yes.
So remember that. It takes a long time to get ready. Depending on the person, it can take a little time or more time to get something ready to go. Plate gained one time. My brother-in-law that invited Sister Berta. He and I was going to go down. He said, well, I'm going to go change clothes. And he went in to change clothes, and he was done so fast he left me breakfast there. He was already ready to go, and I was still getting dressed. And it stunned me how fast he could do it. But listen, folks, when it gets down, when you and God are dealing with anything that needs to be dealt with, it can take some time. And the main thing to get us there is humility and getting on down. Brother Marvin hit some points last night that were very valuable. I appreciate the getting, but I'm thinking of this. I thought it takes a good dose of humility getting down. That's your first key right there. If you don't have that, you're going to stop everything right there. That'll hinder you to even get started. Now, let me get out and explain my burden. You're a young person that has chosen your way and not God's way.
Oh, Lord.
I'm reading off some scenarios that the Lord has given me. And you're in a head-on car wreck and kill instantly and go out to face God. You're a middle-aged person that's lived a good life, has a nice family, is doing well financially, goes to church regularly, which they belong to, and they get sick and die, and shortly they meet God. You're a middle-aged person that was with the Evening Light Church of God and left it to follow another group. You claim to be saved. Have followed the other group. She was in good fellowship with them. And their teaching, followed their teachings and so forth for a number of years. And then all of a sudden you die suddenly and go out to meet God. You're an older person that has been saved and living for God most of your life. Has been blessed by God through the years. And now time is winding down. You start feeling bad. Gradually get worse and worse. Till you say, till you pass, and you go over to meet God. Now, out of these four things I've written down, which person do you want to be in these? Now, like I said, the one that really shook me up is the one that was a middle-aged man. I knew this man. Knew him pretty good. Pastored him. And body of people left us and he went along. There would have been more that we had lost out of Guthrie if it had not been for the Lord. But we worked as a team with the Lord and prayed, and the Lord kept a number of people there that would have walked away and gone with this group of people. Now here's the thing. This is what shook me up. There is thousands upon thousands of people that are in church groups that feel like they're ready to die, that feel like they're saved, that feel like that everything's fine, and they're deceived, and they don't realize they haven't done. They've gone and joined the church of their choice. They've gone and accepted the Lord. They've never repented. They've never had a relationship with God. And then they get down to a point and they die suddenly and step out into eternity. And they meet God. Listen, folks. When I got to analyzing that thing, that shook me to the core. Because there's thousands upon thousands of people that do that, and they're not ready to die. They're not ready to meet God. And they walk out there, and they're all excited, maybe so to speak, that they're going to meet God in peace. But what did he tell that body of people? Well, let's read two instances here. Let's go to Luke 18. Luke 18, the Pharisee, I believe, and the publican, some of you know where I'm headed to. He said here in the 10th verse, it said 9th verse, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. And two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as these other people are, men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this old publican over here. Why, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all I possess, and the publican standing afar off would not even lift so much as eyes into heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, there is people out there, folks, that's got a self-righteous attitude that makes you sick. I've watched them. I've dealt with them. I've talked to them. One man, we were at a funeral one time of a cousin that died again, that had gone out with the same group of people, and the pastor was there, and he got down to a point that he actually attacked some people in the Church of God that I was very close to and had a lot of respect for. And I finally asked him, I said, how old are you? Well, I'm so-and-so. I said, let me tell you something, young man. I said, I've been saved about as long as you are old. And I said, I've known these people for many, many years and worked with them and been close to them. And I said, you're not going to talk about them people like that to me. I'm not going to accept it. He looked at me. He didn't know what to say. I got firm with him. I wasn't maybe quite firm as I was there. But I let him know, I'm not going to allow you to tear down people that I love and I have respect for and confidence in and a relationship with. You're not going to do it. I had another man walk away from the saints a number of years ago, a preacher, named his name, you might know him. He sat down with me he had come through Guthrie one time, this has been a good while back, he come through Guthrie and he was saying there, he and I had been close at one time, so he and I was talking, and he done just like this Pharisee did. He said, we are extremely anointed. He said, my people are really anointed and really powerful. And he started tearing down the young preacher that I had watched work with as they come up in the ministry. Now, if he attacked some older ones that I knew he knew something about, I couldn't have said what I said. But he attacked those that he knew nothing about. And when he did, I said, wait a minute. I said, you're not going to talk about them. You don't even know them. And I shut him down right there. I said, I don't want to be harsh with you, but I'm not going to accept what you're saying. Listen, folks, today, these people, they want to lift themselves up just like this Pharisee did. They want to boost themselves and talk and down people and cut people off. But the bottom line is this. They're going to step out and meet God.
Yes.
And who was ready in this case? Who was it? The little old humble man that smote his breast and said, God be merciful. What about the man on the cross? These men didn't have a lot of time to pray or maybe prayed a big long prayer. But the bottom line, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto the cries. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Listen, he's looking at these people and God reached down and he touched and he blessed and he saved. He done whatever he needed to do for these that humbled their heart greatly. Said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The one that exalted himself should be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. These people feel the right. They feel that they're saved. There's people that have been among us that have walked away and felt justified to do what they done. But when I looked at the situation in prayer, it stirred me to the depths. And that was the burden of this message right here. Because I could see them stepping out and they weren't ready. Thought they were. And I'm not saying that I know all about it. What I'm saying here is that more than likely, according to the Word of God, these people possibly were not ready to meet God. They thought they were. They thought they were fine. Like I said, I love this man that I knew he died suddenly. This other man, I've loved him. We were close at one time. But listen, today saying, Lord, help us that we get down real low and real close to God because be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. All right, let's go to Romans. My time's done gotten away on me. I'm just about to. So you just pray for me and hold tight a minute. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God and not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness. No, the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, speak on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For when the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now the Jews, according to the Bible, in Christ's time, the bulk of the Jews were in magnificent trouble with God. And that's what he's dealing with here. But he gets it down. If you confess, and I'm going to add in here, repent.
Yes, amen.
Get down to the bottom line where the Bible said repent and believe the gospel. I could be wrong, but the bulk of the people don't repent. They're not taught to repent. The Bible says it, but they don't do it. They're not taught. See, that's the problem. When people follow a body of people that don't teach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, they leave things out and they accept all this stuff that they teach. That is their ideas and their whatever that they conjured up together. And they believe all of this. And then, like I said, they get down and they suddenly find an attorney. And they think they're ready to go. And they hadn't followed what the Word of God says to do. And they step out and they meet God. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us.
Yes, Lord.
All right, let's finish in 1 Peter 4 and 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch into prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, and charity shall cover the multitude of sin. But the end of all things is at hand. Be sober, serious, looking, considering, weighing, watching unto prayer, being very prayerful, because you do not know the day nor the hour. Over in Genesis, one of the men over there made the statement to one of his children, I believe it is, he said, I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know that. You don't know that. You've admitted that to me tonight. Be ready. Therefore, in such an hour, as you know not, the Son of Man comes, be ready. Because he's going to come. And we're going to meet him. We're going to deal with him. My father's family was of another faith. There's some in there that I have a lot of respect for. Where they stand with God, I don't know, but I have respect for them. My wife worked with one of the cousins and said, Carl, said she just appreciated what Bonnie did. She appreciated the way she's doing this and that. And I was praying one day several years ago. It had been probably 30 years ago. And I said, Lord, I was thinking about and praying for this family. I said, I am thankful I am not the judge. Because I wouldn't know what to do with these people. And you know what he told me? He said, it's the blood, child. It's the blood. We've got to be covered with the blood. That causes the death angel to pass over.
Yeah.
That gets us into the Lamb's Book of Life. When he writes our name in the blood in the Lamb's Book of Life, it puts us in the position of a child or a daughter or a son with God. But without that blood, we'll be in trouble. Pray for me. I appreciate your time and attention tonight.